This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وصحبه أجمعين وبعد اسم الله الواحد الأحد اسم الله الواحد الأحد the one and the only. This is within the category of attributes of domination, and there's a lot of names in this group, as you can see. القدوس الصمد المهيمن. I chose Malik al-Mulk, which is what we talked about yesterday, and I'm choosing today Al-Wahid al-Ahad, and then we'll move on to another category, inshallah ta'ala. And these names talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's domination upon his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Ismullah al-Wahid al-Ahad is in the Qur'an. Al-Ahad is in the Qur'an once, and Al-Wahid is in the Qur'an 15 times. 9 of those times, it comes with Ismullah al-Qahhar, the subduer. I'll talk about that a little bit more once we talk about Ismullah al-Qahhar. This is the name through which all of the other names are understood. This is the name through which all the other names are concluded. This is the original name in terms of the attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name that no one shares with him is Allah. And then the name comes right after that. Is al-Wahid al-Ahad. All the other names are just concluded from this name. Al-Wahid la sharika lah, meaning there has no associate. Al-Ahad la mathila lah, there is no one similar to him. Al-Wahid meaning there are not others, and Al-Ahad meaning he is not dividable into others. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Wahid al-Ahad is what Islam is built upon. Because if you were to break Islam down into one word, then the word would be at-tawheed, the concept of monotheism, or the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From which the ultimate value of al-ikhlas, which is the most important act of worship that is on internal act of worship, comes from. It mirrors the most important apparent act of worship, which is tawheed. And these are the two concepts that a Muslim carries. Apparently, he is muwahhid, and internally, he is mukhlis. This is how it's supposed to work. And both these concepts that are the two most important, external and internal, come from his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wahid al-ahad. He says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ مَعَهُ آلِهَةٌ كَمَا يَقُولُونَ إِذَا لَبْتَغَوْا إِلَى ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا سبحانه وتعالى عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. Say, if there were other gods with him, as they claim, إذا لبتغوا إلى ذي العرش سبيلا, they would have competed with one another and tried to get to the throne of the one who was ruling at the time. Because if you understand what the word God or deity means, then you understand that a being of such nature would not be content with being under another being. So if there was another one, then the other one would go and try and claim the throne until they would keep on fighting. مَتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِذَا لَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. If there was a god, if there was another, he has no associate, and there's no other god. If there was, they would, each one would try to be on top of the other. إِذَا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Each god would create his own universe, and then they would go up on top of each other, fighting until one of them was god and the other one wasn't. The other one would cease to exist. لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَدَتَا. Had there been a god aside from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the cosmos and the earth, then they would collapse and they would cease to exist altogether. And this comes from the simple observations that we have within the world. And this is why it's important to understand his name, Al-Wahid Al-Ahad. Because Al-Wahid Al-Ahad is something that is concludable from just observing the world that you live in. Meaning once the human being had the ability to observe and had enough intellect to actually reflect and contemplate where he was, then you can come to the conclusion of Al-Wahid Al-Ahad just by observing the world. And then every other name is a direct consequence of the existence of Al-Wahid Al-Ahad. All the other names, they are directly concluded from understanding that he is the one and the only. How do you conclude that he is the one and the only? Well, number one, all of the laws are the same. They're the same laws that govern everything. Whether it's rotation counterclockwise around a center, everything from the atom to the galaxy does the exact same thing. The essence of the creation of everything is that. From the smallest to the biggest, everything just circulates and rotates around the center in a counterclockwise method. Everything. Everything, when it comes to life, existed slowly through the laws of graduality. Nothing just existed at once. Even though that was the basic understanding of the medieval laws or the medieval theologies that looked at God. However, everything in this world comes slowly through time. Everything, whether the creation of the human being, the creation of life on earth, everything, that graduality. These laws are the same. No matter where you look, you find the exact same thing. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِن تَفَاوُتٍ. When you look, you don't see in the creation of Ar-Rahman, you don't see tafawut. You don't see one, certain things have this law and then other things have a different law that are governing. No. The second way we look, طَرِيقَةُ الْخَلْقُ وَاحِدًا. The method of creation is the same. Life comes in the same way. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقَ. خُلِقَ مِن مَّاءٍ دَافِقَ يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Everything is the same. The creation of every living thing, technically, almost exactly the same. There's a male, and then there's a female, and there's sperm and an egg, and then something, pregnancy, and then they give birth, and it all comes out and looks exactly the same. The oneness of these laws, the oneness of these rules, is what we look at. And if there was more than one God, if there was more than one creator, you would have a different set of rules every time you went in a different direction. But when you look deep into the anatomic structure of everything that exists and the atomic structure of everything that's around us, and you look as far as you can through a telescope to the surrounding an observable universe, it's the same laws that dictate everything. The gravitational law, the electromagnetic laws. These laws are the same. Thermodynamics works the same everywhere. And that is evidence that whatever power created where we are right now, it was one. More than one makes no sense, because if you were to say there's more than one, but they all created the exact same thing, in the exact same way, then it defeats the purpose of there being more than one. If there are more than one, but they create the exact same creation, in the exact same method, and they somehow harmoniously get along, then there's no point of there being more than one. Then it's just one. It doesn't work that way. These are simple philosophical points that you conclude when you look around. A third dalil is the taskhir. Everything is set up in a way where it's there for you. It's set up so that you can access things. The way the world around you is put together is so that you could actually emerge, and so that you could actually take care of yourself and be around. And any of these laws being different, anything had not been exactly the way it was, it wouldn't suit you. You and I only exist because the world is within a certain way, and everything around us functions in that certain way. And had it not, we would not be able to actually exist to begin with. Everything is musakhar. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ دَائِبَيْنِ وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. And he talks, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how everything that he created the sun and the moon and day and night and the rivers and the mountains, all there, all of them are there so that you and I can exist. Fourth point, التَكَامُل. Everything completes everything else. We have an ecosystem. Everything has a purpose where it works for to serve something else in a circular manner. In a circular manner, everything just moves in a way where if you ruin the balance, it wouldn't be the way it is. And we know that. The human being tried and came along and tried to play around with the balance and poked holes at it. And the moment the human being poked holes at the balance, there was an imbalance. And that mizan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established for the world stopped functioning. Everything mutakamil, everything just works with everything else in a way where this system continues to function. And that's how we came and found this world working. These simple points that the human being was able to observe, they all allow us to imagine the creator of this world as being one. And had there been anything more than one, it wouldn't function in a proper manner. Yet, subhanahu wa ta'ala did not demand from the human being to come to these conclusions on his own. So he sent Rusul. But he sent Rusul just to take the human being's attention towards something that was there all along for the human being to notice. So it wasn't something that the human being had to go against the nature of what makes it. It's a fitrah. The concept of tawheed is the fitrah of every living thing. Every living thing knows that oneness is the most simple. The concept of tawheed is the most simple of concepts when it comes to theology. It's dead simple. And there's nothing that is confusing about it. And those who reject it, they don't reject it based on the merit of the argument. The argument is the easiest argument to make. It's the argument that makes the most sense. It's the argument that has the most evidence to support. It's just the consequence of this argument is difficult. The consequence of this argument, when you accept this argument, a lot comes from it. It's an argument that has a lot of results, and it requires a lot of change and a lot of dedication and commitment, and it requires accountability, and it has within it the concept of resurrection, and you're dealing with a power that is way beyond what you are and what you ever will be. And the human being doesn't like that. The human being has never liked that. We were never happy with just being this. We were never happy with that. So once the concept of God became clear to us, and his ahadiyya subhanahu wa ta'ala and wahdaniyya became the argument, it just doesn't suit the human being. So he did one of two things. Either he messed with the image of God to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala less supreme by taking away his wahdaniyya, by saying, no, there's associates, there's multiple gods. And there's different levels of it as well. Took away his ahadiyya. They took away these two things. They vertically added gods, and then horizontally added gods, and then vertically added gods as well. And the more they added, the less merit each of them had. So if you study Greek mythology, for example, or you look at the mythology of the Eastern Asian cultures, they all stem from wahdaniyya. If you study them, you find that there was at the beginning just one figure with a name, and then added to that were many things. And then the more you add, the more you dilute the effect of this God until there's really nothing left of its meaning. Because when God is not as great, when God is not as supreme, you don't feel less about yourself. You feel that, okay, a bit stronger than me, but nothing. And then the stories that came after were the human being defying the gods and challenging the gods, and sometimes somehow even winning the battle with the gods. Or the second way is make human beings more similar to God. Right, superpowers, which is why Marvel and DC are so common. They're fun because they make you feel like you can do more than what you can do. My brain can think way beyond what I can do. I can imagine myself flying. I can't do it, but I can imagine myself flying. I can imagine myself breathing underwater, but I can't seem to get that done. There's all this potential in my head that my body doesn't seem to allow me to achieve, and it's a little bit depressing. The human being doesn't like that. Wants to be a little bit unlimited. So we like the idea, the stories of Thor and Hercules. And we like these stories because it's a human being that's a little bit more, it's more advanced, it's a bit stronger human being, closer to God. We don't like the idea of being ibad. But tawheed, the wahdaniyya, al-ahadiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it puts this paradigm. It's very simple. There is one God. And because there's one God, everything that you see is his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything that is his creation are his servants. And then you have to accept that service piece upon yourself. And the human being doesn't like that. The nafs is very opposed to this concept of service. It takes away any potential for corruption. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a darab method. He gives an example of a person who has one boss, salam li rajul. It's just one person that he reports to. And then another man who reports to multiple bosses that don't agree on anything. like continuously to give him mixed messages in opposite directions. هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا Are they the same in their functionality? Do they live the same? Do they have the same quality of life? No, of course they don't. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ أَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ Say Alhamdulillah and grant salam to all those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose from His creation. Is Allah better or those whom they associate with Him? أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَنبَتْنَا بِهِ حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَهْجَةٍ أَإِلَٰهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهِ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ Or who is it that created the cosmos of the earth and descended water from the sky so that you may find plants that have beauty that you would have never had the ability to create yourself, giving you gardens? أَإِلَٰهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهِ There's a God aside from Allah. بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ Indeed, there is not, but there are people who choose to go against what is obvious. أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَجَعَلَ خِلَالَهَا أَنْهَارًا وَجَعَلَ لَهَا رَوَاسِي وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ حَاجِزًا Who is it that made the earth as stable as it is and put mountains on it and put between them rivers and put between the bodies of water hawajis, barriers, so that you may have salt water and fresh water? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ Is there a God with Allah? بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ There isn't, but most of them just don't know. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ Or who is it who answers the dua of the supplication of the person who is in extreme and dear need? And the one who removes difficulty and the one who makes you the caregiver of the earth. أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ There's a God aside from Allah. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ But it's very rare that you reflect on these things. أَمَّنْ يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَيُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ Who's the one who guides you on earth or in the sea? And he sends his wind with his mercy and compassion and the rain. أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ There's a God aside from Allah. تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ Allah is exalted from having any associates. أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَمَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Or who is it that brings out creation, who created and then will create again and provides for you within the cosmos and the earth? أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ There is a God aside from Allah doing this. قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Say, bring proof and evidence that there is a God aside from Allah. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ بَلِ ادَّارَكَ عِلْمُهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ بَلْ هُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهَا بَلْ هُمْ مِّنْهَا عَمُونَ Says subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ قُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ Say, who owns the earth and everything on it? If you have knowledge, they'll say Allah. Say, then where's your taqwa? Why do you keep on associating others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is this coming from, this constant need to associate someone? The concept of shirk comes from the fact that for there to be just one being, just one creator, that means there's only one rule, and there's one law, and there's one set of values, and there's one set of red lines that we don't cross. Having more gods allows for more flexibility, because this god can move it can move the needle a little bit. You can remove that line, push it this way, push it that way. There's a little bit of intercession. Yeah, you can go and talk, and there's wasta. Yeah, someone who can break the rule for you. You go to the clergy who's responsible for taking care of this god, and you can ask for an exemption. He can give you an exemption because this god has a little bit of power. But they don't. There's no room for corruption. There's no room, yani akhdu ata, as they say. There's no room for us to have a conversation about these laws. This is what they told Musa alayhi salam. We don't want this. Sami'na wa asayna. This is not going to work. Sorry, this is way too difficult. Go back and change it. So he didn't. So what they did, what did they do? فَأَتَوْ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ يَعْكُفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى جَعَلْ لَنَا إِلَهًا كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهًا They saw people who had all these idols. Ya Musa, make us a god like they have gods. Give us something we can work with. Someone that we can talk to so we can change things. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you sit You make dua all your life saying, Ya Rab, I need an exemption from this rule. Ya Rab, I can't keep on doing this. This one act of obligation, or this one haram I can't seem to stick to, I need an exemption. I need to speak to someone so that there's an exemption to this rule, because this rule is too hard. You can spend your whole life doing this, you'll never get it. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, khalas. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not here for you to go and ask for exemptions to the rule. So who's going to give it to you? No one. So you have to have some false god. You need some idol, something you can turn to, so it can break the rule. That's the reason these problems exist. That's the reason. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله في إعلام الموقعين says لا إله إلا الله بها كلمة بها قامت الأرض والسماوات وفطر الله عليها جميع المخلوقات وبها أسست الملة ونصبت القبلة وهي كلمة الحق ومفتاح عبوديته وكلمة الإسلام ومفتاح دار السلام ومن كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. So he says لا إله إلا الله, through it everything was established, all creation was established. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the fitra in every creation that he has based on it. And based on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the millah, there's deen. And when usibat al-qibla, you have your direction. And it's the key of Jannah. And it's the word of Islam. And whoever makes sure that this is the last word that comes out of his mouth before he passes away will enter Jannah. In another book, in Zad al-Ma'ad, at the end of it, he says, La ilaha illallah, kalimatun qamat biha as-samawatu wal-ard. بها ألقي إبراهيم في النار وبها أوذي موسى وأخرج من مصر وبها كادوا يصلبون عيسى وبها نشر زكريا بالمنشار وبها قطع رأس يحيى وبها ألقي الأنبياء في آبارهم وبها قتل بنو إسرائيل أنبياءهم وبها أوذي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحبه. This is the word that because of it, Ibrahim was thrown into the fire. And Musa was removed from Egypt. And they almost killed Isa. And they sawed Zakariya in half. And they chopped off the head of his son Yahya. And through this word, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and all of his companions went through the persecution and the oppression that they went through. It's because of this word. It's because of La ilaha illallah, the concept of his wahdaniyya subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would say alayhi salatu wasalam, Jaddidu imanakum. Say, jaddidu imanakum, meaning renew your faith. فَقَالُوا كَيْفَ, what do we do? قَالَ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That's what he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam. Renew your faith. قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You renew your faith every time. قَالْ أَفْضَلُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. The best thing that I said and any Prophet before me said was La ilaha illallah. The hadith, the authentic hadith, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us a small incident on the Day of Judgment. When a man comes and he's standing there and the malaika are doing the ihsa, they're doing the counting of deeds. قال فكان له من سجلات السيئات 99 سجلا كل سجل ما بين السماء والأرض. This gentleman had 99 folders of bad deeds. Each folder was as thick as the distance between the earth and the sky. As far as you can look, that's the thickness of each of these folders of sayyi'at. 99 of them. And there was nothing in the other hand. فقال الرب, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, قال يا عبدي أظلمك كتبتي. Did my الكتبة, the ملائكة that are responsible for keeping record, did they mistreat you? Did they oppress you with this? قال لا. قال هل عملت دون هذه أعمالا, have you done aside from all this anything else? فقال لا. Nothing. The servant was in state of complete acceptance. قال فأتت الزبانية تسحبه, and the Zabani of Jahannam came and started to pull him towards his final destination. فقيل أن ردوه, and it was said, no, bring him back. فَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا بِطَاقَةٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَا يُظْلَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. Now there's still one more piece of of unaccounted deeds. There's one more piece, and we don't. No one's been got oppressed. فَقَالُوا لَهُ هَذِهِ الْبِطَاقَةِ. There's this card. فَقَالَ the man قَالَ وَمَا تَنْفَعُ الْبِطَاقَةِ. What is a card going to do among there's 99 folders of balawi that I've done all my life. فَقَالَ لَا يُظْلَمُ عِنْدَنَا أَحَدٍ. No one is mistreated here. Everyone, no one is served it with injustice here today. قَالَ فَنَظَرُوا. They looked. فَإِذَا بِالْبِطَاقَةِ عَلَيْهَا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The card had on it لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And they put it in the other hand of the scale. قَالَ This is his wording عليه الصلاة والسلام. قَالَ فَطَاشَتِ السِّجِلَّاتِ. And the folders, they go flying into the sky from the weight of this bitaqa. وَيَقُولُ الرَّبُّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا يَثْقُلُ مَعِ اسْمِي شَيْءٍ. And nothing comes close to the weight of my name. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَغُفِرَ الْعَبْدِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the servant. And this is not, these ahadith, they're not designed for people to take as a guarantee that this is what's going to happen to you. And that you can just go ahead and live however you want because you said this one word is going to work for you. That's not what this hadith are designed for. These hadith are designed to understanding that there are certain situations, that there's a scenario on Yawm al-Qiyamah where this is the case. And it shows you that the value of the word La ilaha illallah is maybe even beyond what you can comprehend or what you can imagine or what you can think of yourself because of what it means. From La ilaha illallah, you conclude all the other names. When there is only one God, then you know that any value or any definition comes from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come to this world and we find that there are certain standards. There are certain words that have certain meanings. These standards exist, right? Whether we like it or not. Because there are definitions that we hold them to. La ilaha illallah means that all of these standards have a source. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets. When you say the word rahmah, what does rahmah mean? And who sets that? And who defines what rahmah is? And who allows rahmah as a concept to exist to begin with? If it's la ilaha illahu, then it comes from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you say the word adil or justice or haqq or righteousness, who defines what that means and what that is to begin with? If everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the definition of that word comes from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He defines it. He created it. The concept is His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you understand tawheed, you understand that there was nothing before Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there's nothing, there was no existence. It was only, there was nothingness. There was Allah. And then whatever He created, that's His creation. So whatever laws that exist in that creation are His. Any concepts, any values, any principles, any definitions are things that He made subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it all comes, so when you say ilm, knowledge, what is that? We understand it as a concept. But that concept does not precede God. It is a part of His creation. So He has to be the omniscient. Since He created the concept Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, that concept has to go back to Him. The idea of potency, of the ability to do something, doing something, that's a concept. Who created that concept? I understand what I mean. The idea of things getting done, where did that come from? This is something that we came to the world, is there. Things can get done. You can either do them or you can't do them, or you will do them or you won't do them. That's how we came to this world. And then based on that, that's how we function. But whom put it that way? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So potency is His creation. And since it is, then He is the omnipotent subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single concept, wisdom is a concept. Now, where did it come from? It doesn't exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in the world where wisdom has a meaning, where the word has an understand, has a comprehension. So he's going to be the all-wise because it's His word, because He's the standard for all the definitions, because He made them all, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the names that we know that are on that list, they stem from La ilaha illallah, from Al-Wahid Al-Ahad. Once you accept Wahid Al-Ahad, everything else just happens automatically. It's the domino. It's that first domino. You push, everything just comes, everything just smoothly exists the way it will because of La ilaha illallah. And that's the concept of Tawheed. And how do you live by it? Very simple. You adhere. You obey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since He created the concept of adherence, the concept of obedience, then you stick to that. Because He is the creator, because He is al-wahid al-ahad, and we're all His servants, then you obey. And number two, you make sure you have sincerity. You mirror the concept of tawheed in appearance to something that is meaningful internally, where you don't see the value of anyone else's opinion, where you don't see the value of doing something to serve anyone else aside from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's no one else aside from him to begin with. You don't try and do something for others because there are no others. There are no others. There's only him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illahu. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, kana Allahu wa la shay'a ma'ah. There was Allah and nothing with him. And the scholars say, wa huwa ala ma kana alayhi ka'in. And he continues to be, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he always was. And we are just here for a short period of time. And as we once were nothing, we will go back again to being nothing. And then he will choose, subhanahu wa ta'ala, either to bring us back again or not. And that's the decision of al-wahid al-ahad, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that was a benefit to you. Subhanahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair wa barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.